With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
So welcome everyone and good morning. This is the EvoStick NPL show, Division 1, season preview 2016-17. Sorry we've left you till last, but we've only got a few days to get all these podcasts out. So we thought Saturday morning, perfect, live and kicking, proper. So we're going to start off with Division 1 North. Now,
the best division.
We've got Ian Burke here from Hyde United fame.
I'd say it was early, isn't it?
It is early. We've got James Hayes here from Radcliffe fame.
Hello,
we've got former manager at Drolsden, New Mills. Have I missed anyone off from Division 1 North?
Carnarvon.
Mosley, that's one. Roy Sewell. And Alan Alcock's here as well.
United. Oh, no, you weren't.
Manchester United. Oh, yeah.
Well, he was about then.
Oh, you actually.
So, Division 1 North. We're going to be speaking to Robin Gray in a second for Division 1 South. Division 1 North this season. Berkey, this is your first season, I think, at this level for a number of years.
Yeah, just over a decade.
Just over a decade. What do you reckon?
I think I'd have actually recruited fantastically well over the summer. The first signing of the summer, the first major one of any of the clubs in the First Division North, it was Phil Dean. the Phil Dean who's been promoted from this division three times on the trot. It was twice as champion, weren't it, once through the playoffs. He also got promoted a couple of seasons before that from North West Counties League. He's a talisman in this division. Why he's not playing higher, no one quite knows. But he knows his stuff. On the left-hand side, honestly, I think he's the best winger in this division by an absolute country mile. And Hyde have pulled off a massive coup again. They really, really have.
What's your take coming into this league? Obviously, you know, you've got Colwyn Bay and Rami in this league as well.
Yeah.
What's your take on how are you going to compete?
Well, this is the really weird thing about the teams that have come down. I mean, Colwyn Bay have come down two divisions on the trot, Hyde have come down three divisions on the trot, haven't they? But the teams that come down from last season, they've recruited really well over summer. I mean, Gaz Seddon going to Ramsbottom, what a brilliant
signing that is.
A bad signing?
Not mad.
Oh, it's incredible. But they've also got loads of other players in there who just look, hang on, really, they're at Ramy. And they're going to be challenging this
season. Well, I say Chris Cheatham's gone there from Radcliffe as well, which is a fantastic capture for them. I mean, we're going to miss him massively this year. But Rami, I've already geared up to say, let's go straight back up. And I reckon Rami could have a proper go at this league next year. And especially with the likes of Steve Foster there, again, Gary Seddon.
Everyone else, Alex Meaney's there. Yeah. But you were saying, Ben, what about Hyde? Well, they started off, they got filled in, but then they sorted the defence out, and that's been Hyde's Achilles heel for the last 3 years. The defence has been absolutely pants. But this year, you look at it, and they've got a lot of experienced heads in there. It's not just young kids anymore.
The problem is, though, for Hyde, for Colwyn Bay, for Rama, is teams that get relegated out of the NPL Premier Division, they don't tend to yo-yo back too quickly.
No.
I think Stafford Rangers, it took them a couple of seasons to manage it.
Oh no, but when Stafford went down, they were a mess. Drolsden, when they went down, they were an absolute mess, and they've still not fully recovered.
Trafford, for example, they've not bounced back. And
Trafford did okay last year. Yeah. They were under Carl Baker, new manager there. They had a bit of a slow start to the season, granted, but they started to build momentum as the season went on. And they didn't miss out on the playoffs by all that much in the end. They just had a little wobble in the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. And, you know, Trafford have done well over the summer too, and they're probably going to be top eight again, I think. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens there. But I really do think Hyde are going to do really well in this division this season, and I'll be surprised if they're not top three.
I think you said that 2 years ago, what happened.
Yeah, fair point, yeah.
What's your Alan, on the three teams that have come down, because, you know, they're decent-sized clubs.
Yeah.
What do you think? I mean, are all three of them going to be competing?
Before we go into... let's keep on that on Hyde United. Hyde United is going to be a 3G factor, for a start. Well, most of the clubs in that league will not have played on 3G.
Hang on, it's not 3G, it's FIFA 2 star. Let's have
3G.
It
is 3G. 2 star, but it's 3G. What Hyde United need to do is just be careful of the start and not panic. Because just looking at the fixtures here, they've got Tadcaster Albion. Mm-hmm. Now, I would have Tadcaster Albion as a club that's going to be up there.
Absolutely.
Do we do predictions now? Is everyone saying Hyde?
No.
Good. Let's keep it fresh. Right, okay. So, we mentioned Hyde. Colwyn Bay, they're going to do a bit better than Drolsden did, perhaps. Yeah. Or Witten did in their first season at this level. Back from the NPL, do you reckon?
I think the same applies to Colwyn Bay as Ensford. You know, while they had a settled management team, they'd done very well and they reached the heights that they've got to. Once that management team left and went to, you know, further up the coast, they've chopped and changed a little bit too much. So I feel a lot of their problems have been off-field as opposed to on-field in the selection of the management teams and the coaching teams. What I would say is I think this will be a very open league, a really open league. And I would say that would be right the way through to the bottom teams. You know, it's going to be really, really close. I do fancy Ramsbottom as a bit of a dark horse. I wouldn't say that I fancy them as a first spot team. I'm tending to look at the likes of Farsley, Glossop and Tadcaster.
Well, I was going to say, we've lost the top three teams from last season. Warrington, Spennymoor and Northwich Vicks have gone to the south. Yeah. So, by my reckoning, that makes Glossop Northend, who finished fourth, and certainly one of the favourites. You mentioned Farsley as well. Farsley had a bit of a weird season, but they shot up once they got the formula right.
They had an awful start and then an unbelievable run.
And one of the teams who I'm looking at the table from last season and I'm quite surprised, I don't remember him finishing there, Lancaster City. Remember all the problems they had off the pitch in, I think it was November time, wasn't it? They finishing sixth is...
They had a snifter of the playoffs, didn't they, round about March time.
Lancaster and a team always tends to do that though at the same time. The last couple of years they've just missed out on the playoffs. Before that one, before when we had the FCs coming in, when the teams were dropping into our division, they were always in that sort of playoff spot anyway. Last couple of years, it just tend to have dropped off at the end or started really slowly and picked up.
Now, there's a team I missed, and it's Burscough. Yeah. And Burscough are a right bag of tricks, and they've beaten some teams last season, not just in their division either.
Burscough had such a fantastic season last year. They weren't expected to be top five at all, were they? Typical mid-table team, we all thought, and nobody's banged away up there, and they had a belting season. Whether they can continue it, I don't know. I don't think they will, if I'm being honest.
Well, the manager's gone,
hasn't he? Yeah. Exactly.
And they've offloaded a few players as well.
Yeah. However, on Burscough's advantage, they've got Dave Powers, the manager now, who was Rafa's assistant last year under Danny Johnson.
One team I think who will drop, Clitheroe.
Well, I was going to say, we mentioned the fact that perhaps Burscough, the rug might get pulled out from under them. Clitheroe, they kind of backed off, didn't they? Kind of a weird one. And Clitheroe, they're happy at this level, aren't they?
I think they're happy at this level. It's just going to be interesting with Colne coming into the league, who just dug the road. Uh-huh. Once you start getting another team who's ambitious, as I know the people at Colne are, suddenly you find that your neighbour is actually taking the better players off you, and you're basically screwed on a budget that you know isn't going to compete. I mean, I don't know with Ramy as well at what sort of budget they're going to be. So Clitheroe could be the poor boys in all that.
I think to be honest, again, I go back to the same thing. A lot of players initially go to clubs because of the management team that's there, and you know, it's a big pull. When Simon left Clitheroe, a lot of players maybe lost a little bit of desire to want to play there, which is understandable. A lot of players get the desire to play for clubs through the desires that they see the managers put into the clubs as regards to work rate and the commitment. I think Clitheroe find themselves in that spot, to be honest. You know, all best to the lad, you know, he's got league experience, you know, the managers took over. We'll see where that takes them. Yeah.
Now, earlier, Roy mentioned Farsley. Now, very shortly, we're going to be speaking to Thomas Fahaney again to talk about Farsley plus the Ossett clubs. Ossett Albion did really well last season. Yeah. Ossett Town came good once they got Grant Black in charge, from memory. Yeah. They started to turn it around. So they might, those three Yorkshire clubs there are going to do quite well. But there's three sleeping giants, I feel, in this division.
That's okay. A giant waking up.
Drawsden, Scarborough, Bamber Bridge.
Bamber Bridge aren't a giant.
They always predicted to do well, though.
This
always.
Not this year, Marvin.
Different, no. They've got to do a lot of work on the ground, and it was mentioned later on in last year at the awards too with the management team. It just seems the ground's got to the better of the club. In the last couple of seasons, it's shown in the performance because they've been in the playoff final about three or four times, and slowly but slowly, it's going. They're dropping down, they're losing the better players. Against the likes of Charlie, who performed well, coming back to that, what we were saying a minute ago, likes of Colne as well, who took a couple of players.
But you again, I go back to the management team that they have there. Management team they have there, fighters and winners, and they won't lie down, regardless of whether they've got finances or not. They'll roll the sleeves up and they'll graft away, because that's the type of players they are.
Scarborough.
Well, they were dreadful last season, weren't they? Only just avoided.
When did they move into the new stadium?
Next year.
Next year. So we reckon they're still going to be plodding along until they get that stadium, and then they're going to kick off.
Last year, even the fans said that was not a Scarborough team.
How did it happen?
I think they had a bad start, lost a couple of players, and just didn't pick up. Obviously, until they made the final, they do soon. But a lot of the fans said, even they'll admit, a cup final is nothing. It was even if they'd won the final. Would have not have saved their season. They have
third from bottom in the end.
Exactly. Even Ratcliffe beating, which was that's you.
Even Ratcliffe, how insulting! Right. Okay. So to both teams. So that's pretty much Division One all covered. We should say a big welcome.
I'd like to make a mention for Prescott Cables.
Yeah.
I think the setup there that they've got. I think they're in for a good season. I really do.
So we welcome back Thomas Feeney from Radio Yorkshire and the non-league paper now for this Division 1 preview. And obviously, for Division 1, there's a lot of teams in that Radio Yorkshire patch for you to deal with, Tom. Let's start with Farsley Celtic and the Ossett clubs, if we can. I think when it comes to Farsley Celtic, they had two very different seasons last season, didn't they? Are we going to see an improved Farsley Celtic this time round?
Well, I think when you look at Farsley in last season, there was a lot of change which has happened during the off season. First of all, Neil Farsley's got he's got a joint manager now in John Deasy, the former Bradford Park Avenue boss, and them two are good friends. And actually, when I've been at Farsley last season, John would be at games. So it was clear something was in the works there, and in the end it has turned out that he's the new joint manager. Also, they've got a new captain in Paddy Miller, who I know quite well. He's a really good central defender, and he's someone who you can tell he motivates the dressing room. He's somebody who has that to his game, and a very smart addition there. But I think for Farsley, last season, they went on this incredible run, and I genuinely thought they would get promoted. It was one of them runs. You saw the results coming in every week. They were winning, not conceding many goals, scoring quite a few as well. And then I'm not sure what you put it down to, but they just went on a bit of a blip. It was three or four games where you looked at the results and you thought they should be winning that one, and they were drawing one or two. They lost one or two as well. And in the end, they just lost that momentum that they picked up, and it didn't go their way. But I think for Farsley, the aim, it was last season, it is this season. The aim is the playoffs. And with the structure that they've got in place there now, I think that is achievable, because they've got a couple of young talents that are breaking through. They've lost a couple of players as well during the off-season. But, with any team in this division, you're always going to lose those players if a team from higher up comes calling.
And when it comes to the Ossett clubs as well, Ossett Albion did better last season. Ossett Town, though, when Grant Black came in, he just transformed the club. Are they expecting a bit of a bounce this season as well?
Yeah, well, I've been speaking to people from Ossett Town about last season and also this season as well, because to be honest with you, when Grant Black came in, they didn't look to be in a very good position. it was always going to be down to that one place between themselves and Harrogate Railway, and who could find that momentum. Grant Black came in, and simply what he did was he got players in he knew, and they were players that he didn't have to particularly train to do anything different. He knew them, they knew what they were doing, and Danny Frost was, you know, a revelation of a signing. Now, interestingly, he has actually left the club during the off-season. He's gone to Shore Lane FC, so, you know, that will be a blow for Grant. But the thing is, what he's been able to do is he's getting players in, he knows the way he plays, and it certainly has worked for him. Looking at us at Albion, I mean, going into Christmas, they were, you know, they were a team that were looking like they could reach the playoffs. The problem they had was they had a couple of injuries. Pollitt from Geisler, who were alone, he got a bit of an injury, was out for 3 months. And that, to me, that really affected him because he was such a danger on the wing. It kind of lost their game. The striker didn't have the service that they had before that. But the thing with Ossett Albion is they've not particularly gone heavy on the transfer market. What they've done is they've promoted from within. Richard Tracy, the manager, has focused on the players from the academy setup that they've got there, them young talents. And he's given them a chance. And I think for that, you've got to applaud him. Rather than, you know, spending any money, he's giving, you know, the 18, 19-year-olds who have really impressed him during pre-season a time.
Three teams have left off, which is Brighouse, Tadcaster and Scarborough. Tadcaster round the table at the MPL show last night when we pre-recorded it. They were quite favoured. Is that the sense up there at Tadcaster?
Yeah, I mean, I was actually there on the game where they got promoted last season, and the I2I, which is the organisation which is the owners of it, the plans they have in place for Tadcaster, look, they've got very lofty ambitions, but they certainly, you know, they're ticking the boxes as each season passes. First of all, Billy Miller, the manager, you know, a very clever man. He's been able to get some good talent in. And the big thing here is the talent that they've got within the setup of the I2I. And a new signing for them coming in, the goalkeeper, Michael Ingham, former York City. York City wanted to keep him. I spoke to Jackie McNamara. He said he wanted to keep him. But the offer of a coaching role with the I2I and then playing for Tadcaster proved too much. So, you know, you want experience in there. That's a fantastic option to have. And then Jonathan Greening in central midfield. You know, he's a Champions League winner. He has got a Champions League medal from his time at from Manchester United. I mean, you know, just think that that's at Tadcaster Albion is incredible. But the big player for me is actually not Jonathan Greening, but Josh Greening, his brother, who has a deadly eye for goal. And in my opinion, if Josh Greening, you know, didn't have his brother at the club and the atmosphere wasn't as good as it was at Tadcaster, I don't think he'd be there because, you know, I know one or two managers have spoken to me about him, just saying, oh, do you know his situation at the club? So I know that there is interest in him. But look, at the end of the day, Josh Groening's very happy to be at Tadcaster, and there's no reason why not to be. They said they were going to build a new stand before the season's begun. They've done that. So the stadium has been given an improvement, which it needed for the new season. But both on and off the pitch, I mean, the ambition is there and they're delivering.
And speaking of ambition, Scarborough. Now, Scarborough's a mammoth club. They're still waiting for the ground to get built, obviously. Is this next season going to be like another ticking over, waiting for the ground to get finished?
Well, it's interesting because Steve Kittrick is someone I know well from his time at Geisley. And, you know, I spoke to him when the day he was actually appointed, and he said that the previous season was all about, you know, just trying to get through it, really, stay up. And then this season would be the one where you'd see some, you know, big names coming in. Now, when I look at Adam Boulder, I watched him play for North Ferriby United in the playoff final last season. And he ran the show. He had a fantastic game. He is a marquee signing for Scarborough. He will control the midfield. They've also got Paul Beasley coming in, the striker, who last season was at Harrogate Town, had a horrible injury, had a couple of games on dual reg at Harrogate Railway. You know, Simon Weaver, the town manager, said it was one of them. On another day, he'd have been offered a contract and he'd have stayed. Instead, he's gone to Scarborough. And I think a fully fit Paul Beasley will do very well for Scarborough. So, to me, you know, there's a lot of teams in this division that will think that they can push for promotion, get into them playoff places. But just with the signing Scarborough have made and the fact that they've got Steve Kittrick in charge, a man with so much experience, I think the aim has to be to try and gain promotion.
There's two more teams in Division 1 North as well who I've got a bit of a question. I think the people around the table at the NPL show got a bit of a question mark over. That's Goole and Brighouse. What's your take on how they're going to do this season?
Well, it's interesting with Brighouse because a couple of days ago, they'd signed a couple of players, but they hadn't particularly signed what I'd call the player that I thought they were going to get in, because he's been on trial with them throughout the whole of pre-season, and that's Luke Parkin, the ex-Leeds United under-21 player, someone who was very highly rated within the setup. Well, they've actually now announced him before the season begins that he has joined, and, I mean, Luke Parkin, to me, you know, is an absolutely huge signing for Brighouse, because I know there were National League North sides looking at him. I know there was a National League side looking at him. So, you know, that's the kind of player that they're getting in. And they've also brought in Jamie Frost, who has been within the Burnley setup for, I think, about 10 years, 9 or 10 years within the academy. You know,
he was a trialist at FC United during pre-season. I saw him, and he's excellent. He's a very good player.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is, Paul Quinn issued a message. He signed a contract extension a couple of months ago, and he said, be prepared, a couple of days before the season begins, we will announce some good players. And, I mean, Luke Parkin and Jamie Frost, to be honest, to me, you know, if they play 4-4-2, they're the two that you're going to have up front, because they're very talented players. And, I mean, it just adds a bit more depth to the Brighouse squad as well. I mean, last season, they were very pleased with how it all finished. You know, they were safe, no real worries of relegation. And to be honest with Brighouse, I think they'd take that again. You know, move on for the season after, maybe, but just another season of consolidation, getting these signings in as well. I mean, I do feel with Brighouse, there's, you know, a good couple of seasons ahead.
And Goole, lastly, because they've been transferred over. Are Goole going to be okay, do you think?
Well, it's interesting because Lee Morris, the manager, I actually spoke to him, and he wasn't 100% sure whether or not they had been moved yet. But when it was revealed that they had, you know, he said when it comes to negotiating contracts for players and getting them in, he's actually found it a lot easier to get the talent in, because if you look at playing a team in the South Division, he was saying it could be that I think the longest trip was 3.5 hours. In terms of, you know, a round trip. Well, being in the North, you know, it's about an hour and a half. And on a Tuesday night, he was saying, persuading players to stay in the South was a lot harder than when they've been moved to the North. He's been able to say, you know, look, the travelling isn't that bad. Will you sign? And players have said yes. And just picking out one player, the captain who's joined, Reece Maynell, he actually joined quickly at the start of the pre-season. They'd announced that a contract had been agreed. Somewhere along the line, there was something that couldn't be agreed upon in terms of the contract. Reece Maynell became a free agent, and Goole, a couple of days later, Lee Morris ringing Reece Maynell, getting him in. To me, he's somebody who, you know, he's got plenty of experience. He's played in Ireland, he's played in Scotland, he's played for the likes of Guiseley, Harrogate Town, and he can be the player that, you know, really motivates the side, and he's a fantastic addition to the Goole team. To me, it's going to be a tough season for them in terms of, I don't think they'll be, you know, near the playoff places, whatever. But I've got a feeling they'll be fine. I think they'll stay up. It might go down to, you know, 6 or 7 games to go, 5 or 6 games to go. But I think they will be fine in the end.
So, Division 1 North, a special welcome to Cone and Tadcaster Albion. Once again, the podcast at this level is much better. And should say one team we've not mentioned is Trafford, and I think Trafford went through the whole pre-season without getting beat apart from FC United. So that's
Trafford have built again for a good season. I could see them,
they'll be solid,
they'll be there, they'll be knocking about.
So, Division 1 South, we're going to speak to Robin Gray from the Staffordshire Football Show now to speak about Division 1 South, and then the four people in the room are then going to blag it and see how far we can get to make them sound like they know what they're talking about.
I agree with Robin there.
I always do, actually. But, yeah.
So, at the Heat and Hops, we you know, you've got these lads sat around the table, and they do a good job of winging it in a lot of ways. And when it comes to Division 1 South this season, they've got a bit more of an insight because, you know, there's clubs like Witton and Northwich Victoria, which are nearly part of the Manchester hinterland, almost. But there's still a lot of clubs, and the Division 1 South has spread out this season, certainly. And joining me now to try and fill in those gaps, well, it's the return of a trusted friend from the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM. It's Robin Gray. Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hi, Ben. I'm very well. Good to speak to you.
Good. So, welcome to our Division 1 preview this Saturday morning. And, well, I think we've got AFC Rushden Diamonds covered because we've got John Dunham coming on from the Northants Telegraph. And as I said, and we've also got Tom Feeney covering Shaw Lane and Stocksbridge. But there's a whole plethora of Staffordshire, West Midlands, East Midlands and that kind of area that we still are unsure about. And that's where you come in.
No pressure.
Obviously, the league has lost a couple of clubs from last season. Shaw Lane, though, are still in the mix. Northwich Victoria have come into the league, as have Witton. Would you say it's a stronger league this year?
Yeah, definitely. There's no doubt about that. The teams that have moved divisions as such seem to be a lot better. The ones who've come up, obviously, you know, money behind them. I know we said this last season, but it's looking that way again. And I think, yeah, there are some big teams in the division. And as Peter Ward, the kids' grove manager, said to me last week, he said, I won't be surprised if the team who wins the league this year has the record number of defeats for a title-winning side in the Division 1 South. And I don't think he's far wrong, Ben. I think you've got, like I say, Shaw Lane not going up was a bit of a surprise for quite a few. And you've got teams who have rejuvenated and a lot of competitive, a lot of competitive games, I think we'll see. A lot of teams with more money. Yeah, I think better squads all around, really.
Let's try and cover your patch if we can. Obviously, yeah. Kids Grove Athletic, they had 2 years ago a bit of a ropey season. Last season was much better for Kids Grove, although it was still a mid-table finish. Looking for an improvement this year as well?
Yeah, I mean, last season, obviously, compared to the others, was fantastic. But I think everybody was a little bit disappointed because they felt with the players that came in, perhaps it was a team that could have finished higher. I don't think there was always the funds there to change it. However, this season, the players that have been brought in have been quite phenomenal. David Artell, the former Crewe Alexandra captain, who led them to promotion just in, I think it was 2012. You know, it's just really very recent. You got Ryan Austin, who's got Football League experience with Burton Albion. I think most people at Kids Grove would say it's probably closer to being a conference player than in Division 1 South. That's the quality that they've managed to bring in. And the most of the squad from last season stayed. Ant Malbin staying on. The likes of Danny Smith and Tom Morris and Ash Hodgkinson at the back. In midfield, the key men like Ross Davison and a returning Dan Skelton now, which is a big signing, and Madison. And then obviously up front, there's a lot more options. The big signing that a lot of people looked at was Luke Keane, joint top goal scorer for the league with Ant Malbin, and also Harry Clayson, formerly of Crewe Alexandra, and he's had a good run of games at the end of last season with Newcastle Town. A good player, a player who needs a run of games to get him going again, and pre-season proved that he is a good player. So, in terms of what's been brought in, not many people can argue with it at all. And I think Kids Grove, by their own admission and by what the joint managers, Peter Ward and Ant Buckle, have said to me, is that they want a playoff spot.
Right, okay. Newcastle Town, they finished just above Kids Grove last season. I feel like Newcastle Town have some unfinished business. I think last season's season preview, me and thee predicted quite good things for Newcastle Town, but it didn't really come off last season. Do you, is optimism returned to the club now?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a new manager now in Scott Dundas, who obviously formerly of Norton United, did great things there. And he was with All Stage of Town last season. Couldn't save them from relegation, but he'll see this as a good opportunity for him to build something at that club. They've got a good youth setup. They brought some great players in the season before last, where they got into the playoffs and nearly got promotion. They had a wonderful season then. So blooding a couple of those youngsters again and seeing if they got anything there will certainly be one of the aims. Aside from that, they've signed a lot of players from Norton United, even some in the area have joked that they should be renamed Norton at North Castle Town.
That would be really confusing if they got no goals in a match, though, wouldn't it?
I know. Yeah, but they have signed some, you know, they've signed some of those Norton players, and to be fair, they've got a few good ones there. Lee Cropper scored goals. He didn't get many starts at Leek Town last season, but he is a goal scorer at this level. He proved that with Norton the season before. And Jordan Cole's still there. He's a good source for them. And they've signed like the likes of Sam Bradbury. Now Green's a good player. And I'm sure they'll add to it as it goes on, as them I just said. But Scott Dundas says that they want a season of enjoyable football to me. And he also said that he wants them to maybe be in the top half of the table, push on there. I think that's realistic for them. They haven't got, they don't throw money, you know, they throw silly money around, like it's fair to say some clubs do at this level. And I think a top half of the season, top half finish would be a good season for them.
And lastly, for your patch, Leek Town. Now, Leek Town, my goodness, where do we begin with Leek Town? I daren't say, surely they've got to finish in the playoffs this season. I daren't say it, but I have just said it.
Yeah, I think it's a tricky one. It's been a bit of a rebuilding job again for them. Jordan Johnson's returned, and then obviously you've got Paul Donnelly, the former Defenders assistant manager, and Danny Lick is player manager now after Lee Caswell's departure at the end of last season. And again, there's no doubt that they're looking to build a good side. I think they've signed Ricky Bridge and Tom France from Newcastle Town, if I remember rightly. Chris Budgish has come in as well. So they've got some good players who've come in there. And it will just be, I think, with everything with Leek is, they've shown signs of defensive solidity in the past. And at the back now, they've got, again, Darren Chadwick, who's probably one of the best defenders in the division. And if they can keep a strong back four, they've got Toby Malarkey back, who was on loan from Crewe, and they get that strong midfield. They've still kept Shelley and Maguire, the players who have been there for a long time now. And if Dandelic can still help out himself, and just if they can get goals, I think that's what they'll need from their team. I don't think, though, in my opinion, that it's perhaps as most seasons you'd look at them and say, yeah, playoffs. I don't perhaps get a strong feeling of that this season. But I do think that, again, they're in and amongst that mix, just like every year, because they're a big club as well.
You can keep abreast of the Staffordshire Football Clubs on the Staffordshire Football Show on Not FM every Thursday evening, from memory.
Well, that's right. We haven't actually started it yet, Ben, but it is on its way.
Excellent news.
Keep an eye on Twitter.
Now, elsewhere, there's some big names in this league. As we said, we're going to be covering Rushden Diamonds off in a second, as well as Shaw Lane and Stocksbridge Park Steels. There's some big clubs, though. Northwich Victoria and Witton Albion are also in the league this year. Let's remember Stamford as well. They'll be looking to certainly bounce back. And last season, for those people who might not have been following Division One South, Basford United, Lincoln United, all had excellent seasons. As did Chasetown. Rugby Town came good, and Romulus once again finished mid-table, proving everyone wrong. And then you've got clubs like Market Drayton and Spalding United who can pull a shot here and there.
The thing is, there were so many surprises, weren't there, as well in the league last season. And now when you look at it and look at the names, you think, so what happened? It's almost as if there's a chunk of about between probably 8 and 10 teams. And you look at them and you say, well, they did well last season. They probably improved. So where does that leave these new teams coming into the league? And that's why it's so competitive. You know, I mean, like Rugby completely overachieved. Spalding have been up there the last two that they're in their season, you know, and they were fantastic. And like you say, Chase Town did well. Somebody mentioned to me the other day that they think that Chase Town will be even better in terms of the squad. So, and like Market Drayton came from nowhere on not a massive budget either. So there were some fantastic stories last season in terms of teams overachieving. And it will be interesting to see what happens, really, Ben, because so many people keep saying what a great league it's going to be. I suppose it's the sort of season where we'll have to probably sit back, stop predicting, wait for 8 games and just see where teams are, because it is really difficult to call. You don't always know the full story in non-league football. You don't always know about players until the season starts. I mean, many teams are still signing players right up until this Saturday, you know. And
let's just put it this way. Mm-hmm. None of us thought at the start of the year that Lincoln United would be finishing the playoff spots. So that goes to show you. We should say an official welcome to AFC Rushden & Diamonds and Bedworth United. Welcome to the league. There is a monthly Division 1 podcast presented by myself. Robin is always on it. And, of course, we've got Andrew Simpson as well from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian who comes on as well to talk Division 1 North. So we have got all angles covered. But as Robin rightly points out, it's probably best just to sit tight, sit on our hands and embrace ourselves for an epic couple of months opening to this season. But we'll be hearing from you again, Robin, at the end of the month for the August edition of the Evo Stick Division 1 show. But in the meantime, how can people follow you on Twitter?
It's at RobinGray21 on Twitter. And like I said, I do always try and post interviews that we've done in non-league, so keep an eye.
So we're now back with Thomas Feeney. He's a busy lad on this week's show. Just a touch on the clubs in Division 1 South who have got Yorkshire connections. We mentioned Goole earlier being switched to the North. Still in the South is Stocksbridge and Shawlane FC now. Firstly, Shawlane, would you put them down as favourites, or do you think that's not the case?
Well, I think when you look at what they've brought in during this pre-season and what you look at what they had from last season, I mean, they have to be favourites. In my opinion, Craig Elliott is a manager who always aims for the best. He always aims to be the top manager. And, you know, the facilities they've got there, the backing that they've got there as well, it's something where the aims are very high, and rightly so, because, you know, I think the big thing for them was the signing of Danny Foss, because he is someone who has already had spells with Shawlane, and he is a fantastic player, someone they can, you know, mould the team around, really. But I think the thing for Craig Elliott is the trialists he brought in, where they've had a full pre-season with the squad, he's ended up signing them. So it's not a case that any of these additions are coming in, you know, having to get to know the teammates, having to get to know the way they train. You know, it's very much been the case that really he has had his squad in place since the start of pre-season. Just one, you know, a few of them didn't know whether or not they'd be there, but they have now signed deals. So I just think for Shawlane, yet again, Craig Elliott, he speaks so much about how important pre-season is. He gets that, you know, you've got to get everything in place before the season begins. He doesn't like to be doing the running repairs during the campaign, and that is why, you know, he's done what he's done. And to me, they are my favourites to gain promotion.
And lastly, Stocksbridge Park Steels. Now, Stocksbridge Park Steels, in my eyes, are a sleeping giant. They're a great club, a cracking stadium. I just get the impression, though, that they're quite happy at this level, or have been for the last couple of seasons. What's your take on where Stocksbridge are going to be this year?
Well, I mean, I think when you look at Stocksbridge, and obviously, you know, the whole Jamie Vardy thing rose them to fame a little bit over the last couple of years. I mean, when I look at them, I think last season they were a bit unlucky, really, to not get into the playoff places, because they had a couple of games that were called off. It meant that they had a little bit of a fixture backlog, and that seemed to really affect them. They, you know, they've not got the biggest squad, like many other sides, you know, haven't got a massive squad. So if you've got to play a few games in, you know, a few days, you're going to struggle. So I think for Stocksbridge, you know, they kept a majority of last season's squad that did so well. They've added to it as well. So, I mean, when you look at it, you know, on paper, to me, they are a team that should be in the playoffs. But the aims and ambitions at the club are to get there, but I don't particularly think, you know, there's massive pressure. If they were to miss out narrowly, I don't think, you know, there'd be any mass changes for the season after. But I've got to say, you know, back here, the setup at Stocksbridge, it is top class. They've got, you know, such a fantastic stadium, and whenever you go there, you know, it's always such a good atmosphere as well. So, you know, they're one of them teams that I'd like to see them do well, because to me, everything is there for them to take it to the next level.
Well, it is one of my favourite grounds in all of football. I love it. And Thomas, thanks for coming on the show. You've done an excellent job. Just a quick plug for your work and how people can follow you and keep abreast of all the work that you do in the non-league world.
Yeah, if you want to give me a follow on Twitter, that's at Thomas Feeney. You'll probably not be able to spell it well, but just search it that way. There's also going on the non-league paper. I do a report for that every week. And also Radio Yorkshire. It's non-league interviews pretty much every week. Now the season's getting underway, it will be every week. So make sure you give them a listen as well.
Thank you. So Division 1 South, obviously Division 1 South, can I say this? I think Division 1 South is a lot stronger this season than Division 1 North.
No.
No agreeing with me?
It's not on a par.
No, I disagree. Top it is.
Stafford Rangers and Colville Town have left this division. It looks like they've left Shawlane Aquaforce just to win the title, but that's not true, is it?
Because They'll mop up.
I think you've got Rush.
Are Shawlane going to be better equipped, though, this time around?
They will be, but I think they'll be very similar to what there was last year. But I feel that they'll have a lot of competition off Northwich Vicks, and they'll have a lot of competition off Witton Albion and Chase Town and Leek Town.
And Rushden and Diamonds, who've got Nick Evangelinos, who was playing for West Didsbury and Charlton last season, banged in a bucket load of goals as well. He's back living at home for a while. He's apparently looking for a job back up north. While he's there, he'll do the business for him.
Well, one of the advantages, you mentioned Rushden and Diamonds, one of the advantages of being such a broad league is that we can invite, from the Northamptonshire Telegraph, John Dunham, back onto the show to speak about Rushden and Diamonds. Because they've obviously come over to us from the Southern League. They didn't quite make it out of the second tier of the Southern League last season, but they came close. They're a club with pedigree. That's a swampyism. Here's John Dunham to fill us in on where Rushden and Diamonds actually are. Other than in Northamptonshire, of course.
So we welcome John Dunham back to the show to cover off the Division 1 South side, AFC Rushden and Diamonds, and their chances this season, transferred over from the Southern League. John, that means John Dunham's been transferred over from the Northamptonshire Telegraph to the NPL this season as well. So, John, what do you think of the chances for Rushden and Diamonds? Because they were a bit unlucky last season not to get promoted out of this step.
Yeah, they went awfully close. Well, you know, Ben, they were within 9 minutes of being promoted in the playoff final, and then conceded late on, and then lost in extra time. So it was a bitter pill for them to swallow, especially after they'd led the table for so long. So there's been changes. Quite a few players have left, and Andy Peake, the manager there, has really taken his time over making sure he tries to get the right squad in for this new beginning for them. Really, you know, they're in a new division which they don't know a great deal about. But he has taken his time. But I think he's got a half decent squad lined up now, actually, to be honest. So I expect him to do pretty well.
It's going to be fascinating to see how the two leagues compare. It's going to be interesting as well, because you look at the club like a stature like AFC Rushden Diamonds, and they've got a fixture against Northwich Victoria this season. That's a conference game a few years back.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it really was. You know, Rushden Diamonds, the old Rushden Diamonds they were, and Northwich, you know, got it many times in the conference back in the good old days. So, I suppose it's a sign of the times and how things change and everything like that. But yeah, I mean, just looking down the list as I have done, look ahead to what might be in store for them. You know, there's some big names in there as far as I'm concerned. You look at Northwich, you look at Rugby Town, you look at Stamford. You know, Stamford I expect to go very well this season, and you know, there's some big clubs in there. So, but I think, like you say, Diamonds have got a decent fan base behind them. you know, they're usually pretty good on their own ground. I think they'll make it very difficult for teams to come down here and play them. And yeah, I would have thought, you know, it might take a little while for them to get going because there are a few new faces, but once they get going and they get a bit of momentum behind them, I really fancy those. They could be in the upper reaches of the table.
And just a quick mention as well, just generally the geography side of things. Are Rushden Diamond happy with the realignment? And because Division One South, to me, the amount of travelling, the length of the league, it's a bit mighty for Step Four.
Yeah, I think in general they're fairly happy. I think they had a fair indication that if they didn't win the playoff final, that there was a good chance that this was going to happen. They switched over, so you know, so it's proved. And if you look at it, actually, you know, aside from, you know, maybe Northwich's and I think
Witton,
Shore Lane, isn't it? Shore Lane up in Yorkshire, I think, aren't they?
Yes.
But aside from that, you're talking, you know, an hour and a half to places, which is better than some of the places they're having to go to, you know, in South London in the Division One Central, as it was called. So, yeah, I think they're fairly comfortable with the switch over, and for a couple like Diamonds as well, you know, they're big on, you know, trying to make as many friends as they can and everything like that. So from the supporters' point of view, I think a change of scenery and different clubs to visit and different clubs coming to visit them, I think will be a good thing.
Another team who did well last season, who might not get mentioned, is Basford, or Basford United.
Basford, yeah.
Lincoln United also had a cracking season.
Another 3G there.
Another
3G.
Really?
3G, yeah. I'll rate them.
Just a couple of headlines then, because we've already really gone into depth with
Stanford.
Yeah, wait. I'm going to do the headlines now. Okay. Let's mention the teams that have come over. Northwich Victoria, Witton Albion. In yesteryear, they would have been nailed on, certainly to get to the playoffs. Is it a clear cut this season?
No.
Not for Witton, but Northwich, again, they seem to have put a lot of effort to get out of that division, because again, the amount of travelling in the south compared to the north. I say, if you were to put the likes of like Prescott, Warrington, Colwyn Bay in that league, the travelling would be most of your budget for that year. Mm-hmm. No problem. I can see Witton struggling, but Northwich Vicks are having a go for it. So if that's going to be a gamble, that we'll see what they're made of at a simple point.
I don't think it's just the budget. It's the players being capable to attend midweek away.
Yeah. And they've kept the core of last season. Yeah. So why not? They've got a good manager there.
I mean, I can't remember, you weren't with the club then, but we FC United played Carlton Town in the Dudeson, and that's a hell of a trip. Especially in midweek, it was a horrible away, to be fair. Not the ground, but getting there was... They put Mrs. Brown's boys on the coach, it was dreadful.
You've got to go through the centre of Nottingham to get there anyway.
Yeah.
You know, on a Tuesday evening, no, Wednesday, I think they play Wednesday, don't they, but whatever night they play on. I just think the travelling in that south... I think it can affect the placings of the...
Yeah, but it can in the north. I mean, you've got Spennymoor and Blythe way up there, Whitby out on a limb. You've got Workington in the middle of absolutely nowhere. It's the same for the north as well.
I think they're one-off fixtures, though, aren't they? This is constant every
other
week.
If you're talking about Witton Albion and Northwich Victoria, who play in Northwich, having to travel around to some of these far-flung places, then you've got to question the type of squad that they need to be able to compete successfully. Yeah. Now, I'm sure we all would like to think that they can do it, but it's going to be interesting over the first half dozen matches to see exactly how they are going to
Yeah, but what there. About the players who play for Spennymoor and Blythe and Workington? They've got to travel even further than that for pretty much every away game.
But I think it's a different type of player. Mm. I really do.
Yeah, but I think you can stay in the Northern League, can't
true
you?
True semi-professionals that have come from, who are up there. Yeah. Otherwise, if they were locals, they wouldn't be playing for Spennymoor and Darlington anyway. If they didn't want the travelling, they'd know they'd get more money playing for Shildon and all these other clubs that are up there. So I think that factor. I just feel that the travelling for the clubs like, and I'm going to include Rushden and Diamonds on there. They're going to be playing Northern Premier League football on a Tuesday night, happen, actually. They won't have a clue of the type of football they're going to play.
To be fair to Rushden Diamonds, they've got good prep because they've had to play teams down in Cornwall. So, prediction time, dear listener at home. Starting off with Division 1 South, we might as well cover that off now. Berkey, you've already. I'm not going to mention playoffs because I think it's much of a muchness. Really, you can name pretty much anyone. Really, I'm not certainly not going to talk about relegation. I'm just going to talk about who you think is going to come up. So you've got two teams to pick here.
All right.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to say Charlene for one, and
I think you need to say Rushden might who you think will come up, and the four that will be in contention.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sue.
That's what I think you need to say.
Okay. I'll bow to your better judgment. Go on, then.
All right, then. Charlene, I think they'll win it. For the other four or five, if Sue is... sorry. North Wich Vicks, Witton Albion, Rushden and Diamonds, and I want to say either Leek Town or Chase Town.
Okay.
That's about eight teams, isn't it? But, you know.
Roy, try and keep the number down if you can.
Well, can I say League Town? Because I'm going there on Monday.
Shore Lane and the teams that could play a part is Northwich Vicks, Witton Albion, Chase Town, League Town, Belper and Spalding.
You named six. Right, okay. James?
Right, Rushden and Diamonds too. Go to win the league personally.
Okay.
And then chasing, you'll have Charlene, Northwich Vicks, Baysford again. Let's say for a team that come up from the United Counties and competed in this league last year, they go about having another goal. And also, they've got a lot more teams around them this year, so again, more opportunity for them to compete well.
Yeah.
And Leek Town, and going to predict a bottom two as well.
Oh.
Sheffield and Romulus.
You can't say Sheffield.
You can't say Romulus. They're friends of the show. Anyway.
Can I say bottom two?
Someone's got to be hated this year.
Well, I was being nice. It's not like the bottom two in the NPL Premier Division. We're basically saying here that you're not going to have a good podcast the season after this one. That's what we're saying when we say relegation.
Can I say Lincoln United?
They had a very good year last season.
Oh, were they all right, Lincoln?
Yes.
That's what, I'm all at least listening to the Division 1 South bit. So.
And they'd won the Doomson as well from them, right?
No one's heard of Belper, have they, so...
Alan?
Yeah.
Go on.
Right. I'm going to stick with Charlene. No, I thought they were very unlucky not to go up last season. And then, just to kind of mix things up a little bit, I actually think Witton Albion above Northwich Victoria. But then I look at a club like Rugby, that seems to, I think, Rugby are due for a good season.
You know, they don't sell pies.
They don't sell pies?
No, they do not.
What kind of madness is this?
not too sure about Leek. I don't know, Newcastle Town as well, with Scott Dundas there. They may...
That's a challenge.
And now it's time for Division 1 North.
Ah.
Quick predictions. Oh, look how everyone is excited now. Go on, quick predictions, James.
Right. To win the league, Farsley, your playoffs are Cold, Tadcaster, Hyde, and I reckon the fourth one will be Bursko again. So quite a lot of them jump in. And then relegation will be, I don't think Prescott will perform as well as people say, and I think I can't.
Are you done now? Are you going? Or
no, I think I've got to go to these grounds anyway. But Radcliffe will not be in the bottom two, let's put it that way.
Right, good. Alan?
Hyde United top. I think Tadcaster Albion will be running them to the title. Farsley Celtic will certainly be in the shake-up as far as I'm concerned. And then going down the list, probably Ramy.
Boy.
I wouldn't like to say who's going to win it because I feel it's so tight, division. But I feel that it's going to be, could be one of 10 teams.
10? 10?
Seriously, yeah.
This is.
I think.
Could have got Andy Townsend for this level of punditry.
I think for the top five, and that's how tight it'll be, I think from the top five down to number 10, you could maybe be talking about 6 points.
Okay.
Between them, from the fifth team.
But he's going to finish top.
To the tenth team.
He's going to finish top.
I feel Farsley.
Okay.
That's what I feel, but if it wasn't, it wouldn't surprise me. I think Glossop North End, Tadcaster, Ramsbottom, Lancaster.
Hang on, you don't have five teams in the series. You said 12.
Did you notice as well? He set the rules for this. Right, I was just going to say two teams. He extended it, and I was extending it again.
But it wouldn't surprise me if the likes of Bamber Bridge and Burscoe were in amongst that lot
so,
as well.
So, for those people wondering, where's my club? Well, Roy thinks you're going to get relegated because that's all that's left.
That's one of the bottom ten.
We're used to it.
Burke.
In no particular order, Ben.
Thanks for committing.
I'm going to say Ramsbottom United, Cone, Farsley Celtic, Tadcaster Albion, and Hyde United, who will win the league
by 10 points. Jinx. Right, so, do we relegation at this point?
Yeah.
Do you want relegation?
Yeah, come on. I've got a funny feeling about one of the Ossets, and I don't know which one, but I think Gould will go, and... I don't know. It's there's much of a muchness in the division this year.
So that
Brighouse maybe.
That is the end. Are you always going to talk about? Okay. That is the end of the pre-season season previews 2016-2017 for the Evo Stick NPL show.
You said that really well.
Thanks. Though. We've done the NPL Premier Division
pre-season predictions of
stuff that's going to happen.
Right, okay.
At some point during the season.
Yeah, yeah.
And come the last week of April, I'll be listening back to write all of it down again.
Thank you. we've done three shows, basically to make my life easier, but just because also there's been so much to talk about, there's so many great clubs at this level. We wish you all the best of luck going into this season, especially with the weather, because I think the weather's just going to be awful all the way through the season. But good luck to all the matchday secretaries, and good luck to all the managers, the players, the supporters, the pie sellers especially. Absolutely. Are you listening, Rugby? Start selling pies.
They sell Scotch eggs because it's the same shape.
But before we go, we've asked for your correspondence, and James, what did you ask?
Right, so basically... We get asked every year, so...
Put your feet up, lads.
Tonight.
Go on.
Basically, we've been asked it already. I'm going to ask you guys as well. Your top five and your relegation on any division of your choice. Surprisingly, a lot of it's for Division 1 North this year.
That's
so,
not surprising, but a great
we'll
start league in the First Division North.
Bringing it back to the Premier Division a little bit. Two predictions from there. Start with Mr. Mark Joyce.
God.
His top five being Blyth, Workington, Ashton, Hentred and the Glass Boys. He's actually agreeing with me with Colville to go down as well. Okay. Michael J. Holland, Marine fan. Spenmore, Stalbridge, Ashton United, Workington and Marine. And then relegation, Colville, Michelob, Grantford, Sutton Coldfield. It was that many for Division 1 North. I can't really read everyone's out, I'm afraid.
Your own podcast.
Thomas and George Rothwell, Nick Carlin, Andy Hammond, Jack Dunham, got Thomas Ritchie, Tommy McCauley, Alex Grimshaw, Ian Wilkinson. I'm just combining all yours together. Pretty much everyone's agreeing with the fact that Glossop could win the league.
What?
But Hyde are going to be up there with Ramy. Bamber Bridge has been knocked about a little bit. Trafford's been knocked about a little bit. Tadcaster as the main dark horse for the league. And mainly for relegation, you've got people saying more Ossett Towns, Drolsden, Schools, and one person says Ratcliffe Borough. I don't know who you are.
So, a big thank you to Ian Burke.
One final one as well from Mr. Turnbull Lever. It's just coming this very, very second. Whitby Town for the league, the trophy, the League Cup, the FA Cup, and European dominance, and the Connect Four World Championship.
Good shout.
Yeah, good shout, especially on the Connect Four. So, Ian Burke from 26-0 and Radio Manchester, thanks for joining us.
Cheers, Ben.
Roy Sewell, non-league legend, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.
Sir Alan Alcock.
Thank you.
And James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with, have discussion, have banter with, and that kind of thing on
facebook.com/groups/the NPL or on Twitter @the NPL group.
A big thank you to everyone for listening to these last three podcasts. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's actually been a real treat recording it because we've done it in like 2 hours.
Oh,
you're having a lovely time, Swamper.
Ben, does this mean we can do this every month then? Like, we can do...
I'll work on it. A big thank you to our host, Heat and Hops, as well. Have a look in the description for the website link. It's a lovely pub with lovely ales and award-winning bar in South Manchester.
It is award-winning, yes.
So wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your NPL side, make sure you have fun, take care, and have a pie. Goodbye. Except at rugby.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.